told the children of Israel not to fear. They're at the Red Sea and they don't know which way they're going to go. The Egyptians were pursuing them from behind and from around them, and they were going to destroy them, and the Red Sea was in front of them to drown them and kill them. There was no way out. Fear will present itself when you are about to cross over into God's greater purpose. You've got to hold on right at the moment, right when you're most fearful. God, the wagons are on the way. The wagons are on the way. Just hold on. Don't give up. Don't stop living for God. Don't stop being a believer. Don't walk away from this wonderful truth. Don't let fear trap you. Exodus 20 and verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Don't sin. Again, Moses is instructing the children of Israel not to fear. Fear will always present itself when a God is about to test or to prove you. Sometimes it's just a test to see if you're going to just fall over and give up and die. But if you'll just stand strong and say, God, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I'm going to stand. God, I don't exactly understand all of your ways or the things in this great book, but I'm going to trust that you're going to reveal yourself to me. God, that I don't have to live in fear or doubt any longer. I don't have to live in that question mark of life and the imagination of my mind. It'll drive you crazy. You can literally go crazy if you allow your imagination to run wild. When I was a boy, I won't say little, I've never been little, but when I was younger, I was scared of the dark a little bit for a season of my life. And finally, I'm laying there one night, and the big boogeyman is in the closet. I just know he's there. The door's cracked. He's looking at me. You know, I just know. And I'm just scared to move. I'm under my sheets. I don't want to move. I wish Mom and Dad would come in and get him out of here. Turn on the light. He'll go away. And I finally laid there, and a peace come over me. And I got mad. I got mad at myself. You big dummy. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. You big dummy. Why? What are you afraid of? You're probably as big as he is. So I got up. I went over and I looked in the window. There ain't nothing here. What are you afraid of? From that day forward, I'm not scared of the dark. I'm scared of spiders and I don't like snakes. But outside of that, not too much I'm worried about. But I had to take control of my imagination or I'd still be scared of the dark. The boogeyman's going to get there. There ain't no boogeyman. And if there is, God can take him out. And Jesus, plead the blood of Jesus. Plead the name of Jesus over your life, over your house, over your work, over everything. And let God take control. Get out of the fear and the doubt of your imagination and allowing it to drive you crazy. Hallelujah. Joshua 10, verse 8. Example after example of just holding on. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Time after time, God's telling, don't fear, don't worry. It's going to be okay. I've got this. Joshua summons the people to fear and not fear the Amorites who are gathering against them. Fear will always, always present itself when you feel overwhelmed by the circumstances around you. It's always when you get into issues and circumstances and you're on the verge of something exciting or great, or maybe you're just holding on and trying to survive, that fear will just come in and try to overwhelm and push you down. Romans 8 in verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. The word adoption means before I saw you, and before you saw me, I saw you. before you loved me, I loved you. I picked you. That's what God is saying. He loves you, sir. Ma'am, He loves you. You are important to the kingdom of God. You are important to Harvest Time Worship Center. You are important to South Louisiana. You are important to the world. You have something to give. People need to see God in you. People need to see faith in you and hope in you and life in you and the smile and the joy and the peace of the Lord. He's got to see that. They've got to see that in us. Because then they say, what do they have? And that question comes up, oh, what do I need to do to have that? That's what it's about. We can preach a million sermons, teach a million lessons, but we're saying the same thing. We're saying the same thing. There's only one way to make it. There's only one plan of salvation. You got to love your neighbor. You got to be peaceful. You present the gospel over and over and over in the Word of God in every way you can just to try to get people to realize you don't have to fear. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to worry. Just hold on to God. Just trust in God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Paul mentions the spirit of bondage that will create fear. Get out of that bondage. Don't allow that bondage to tie you up and make you fear. It's not the will of God for a saint to be struck with a constant state of fear in our lives. You don't have to live in fear any longer. The wagons are on the way. The wagons are on the way. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the way. If the wagons had not been sent, Jacob and all of his family could have never crossed the wilderness and desert to get to the palace. They would have never made it. Joseph knew exactly what to pack to sustain these men and women across the desert experience. Highly treasure, hear me, and carefully value the supplies that come to you from another country. The wagons that show up and bless and provide and make a way for you, treasure them. Carefully value them. How many times have the wagons from another country walked up to you in the middle of your desert place and delivered you? Let me break it down for you. You walk into service and you're feeling down and things aren't going real well at home and you've had some issues, and brother so-and-so walks up and puts his arm around you. That's a wagon. Hey, buddy, I've been praying for you this week. You're going to make it. And something inside of you begins to burn. I am going to make it. And then you come in and you sit down and you're like, man, I don't know how. I just got to get focused on you. But man, I got these bills and I don't know what the car is doing and why the engine is making that noise. God, what am I going to? Sister so-and-so comes up and say, brother, it's so good to see you. Sister, I've been praying for you and God's going to take care of you. I don't know what all's going on, but I just come to encourage you this morning. You're going to make it. And it begins to pick you up. It's a wagon. It's a wagon from another country. And maybe it's just a little word of faith that they speak into your life. And maybe it doesn't financially provide or fix all of your problems. But it begins to build the fire inside of you. And it begins to quench the doubt and the fear in your mind. Listen to that. Build on that. Trust God. Let God step into your life and take control. Let Him begin to speak to you. Times when you are down. Times when your faith and your confidence and your trust is waning cold. Let the fires of love and life and peace and relationship speak to you. Let God step in and touch you. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You just got to keep standing. You just got to keep believing. You just got to keep on keeping on. Even if Jacob did not buy into the words of the messengers when he saw those wagons, he could believe that Joseph was alive, because the first sign of Joseph was a bloody coat and it fooled Jacob. Oh, he's dead, my boy. He immediately, his mind, he assumed because of the blood on the coat, he's dead. Some wild beast must have devoured him. in his mind. He made those assumptions. He made those conclusions. What conclusions or assumptions are you making in your life? The second sign of Joseph and to Joseph was wagons full of goods, and it encouraged him. The first sign rattled Jacob, but the second sign restored Jacob and revived his spirit. How the enemy would love for you to stop short at the first sign of fear and doubt and weakness and confusion. Oh, just give up. You're not going to make it. You know, it's not worth it. Just quit fighting. Just quit living for God. The first sign of trouble just paralyzes you and you allow it to immobilize your entire life. But the second sign of blessing can revive you and redeem you and rebuild you if you'll just hold on and watch God begin to show up and let that faith begin to build in your life and let people and let the worship, when the song starts, just let go of all your problems. Lay down the spirit of heaviness and pick up the garments of praise and begin to trust God that He's going to work on your behalf. The first sign of doubt can cripple you, but the second sign of blessing can anoint you. The first sign of disaster can suffocate you, but the second sign of blessing can exalt you. The first sign of difficulty can ruin you and make you give up and quit, but the second sign of provision can breathe life into you. Everybody here wants a miracle. Everybody here wants a blessing. Everybody here wants the miraculous hand of God to show up and work on their behalf. But nobody here wants to go through the trial or the issue or the situation that you have to get to the point where you're saying, God, I need a miracle. We don't want to go through that hard stuff. We don't want to have to go through that downtime. I'm sorry, I've been gone for a week and I feel the presence of God. I've come to tell somebody you can make it. It's a simple message. You don't have to fear anymore. You don't have to doubt anymore. You don't have to give up anymore. Just hold on. Just hold on. Trust God, He's going to take care of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot stop at the first sign of adversity or discouragement. You have to look for that second sign. Persistent faith will not be defeated by what it can see because we walk by faith and not by sight. Walk in the faith and the goodness of God. The reason Jacob doubted the message was because he doubted the messengers. He doubted all them boys. But the sight of Joseph's wagons revived him and renewed him and convinced him. There are accounts of this sort of thing in the miracles. Lord, help me. Help thou mine unbelief. Joseph did not give his brothers what they deserved. Truth be told, when they walked in the doors, and many of us would look at them and say, ha, yeah, look what you did to me back there. Na-na-na-boo-boo, I'm going to get even with you, Buster. Be honest. I didn't have any brothers. I was blessed with one sister. Younger, spoiled rotten, always got her way with daddy. That's just a fact. She ain't here, so I can say all that. Because I ain't scared right now. If she was here, I'd be scared. And there were times when I felt unjustly accused of stuff. There were times when I was dead and wrong too. I have to be honest this morning. But the majority of the time I was innocent. Most of the time I was innocent. But she could roll those little brown eyes at my dad, blue eyes, whatever eyes she had at my daddy, and he would hear her words. It didn't matter what I was saying. I could plead the blood. Please, don't whip me. My daddy believed in spare the rod, spoil the child. He didn't spare nothing. I didn't understand it then, but I'm thankful for it now because it made me who I am. And there were times when I wanted to get even. Bless God, you little sister. How dare you? But I learned, just let it go and it'll go away. Just don't let it get up in your mind and start creating trouble and feelings and issues and build on it. There's some things you just got to let go. There's some situations that you have no control over. I couldn't control that she had my dad wrapped around her little finger. I couldn't control it. It took me years to figure that out, but when I did, my life began to change. There are some things that you've been through you can't control. You don't have an answer to fix it. You don't have enough money to fix it. You don't have enough wisdom. There is no way to fix it. You've just got to give it to God. Say, God, you take care of it. There are people who hurt me in the past. There's been a time in my life, honestly, I want to get you. That's just the nature of a man. I'll get you back someday. But you got to let those things go. And when you do, there's a peace that will come over you and a fulfillment and a joy. You don't have to fear. You don't have to doubt anymore. God is in control. He'll take care of that situation. You've got to start worrying about right here. And you, point at yourself. I got to worry about me. I can't let fear get in my mind or doubt get in my mind. I've got to let the joy of the Lord take control of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The wagons are on the way. I'm out of time. The wagons are on the way. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, would you just try Jesus? Will you just try the Word of God? Processes and the things of God. He can do what no man can do. He can do what no man can do. Lord, I ask you to touch each and every family represented here today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love and your peace. Lord, I ask that all fear, all doubt would be taken from our minds and our spirits, God. Open the windows of heaven in our life. Let the winds of change and anointing come over us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the wagons are on the way. God bless you. Let's take a quick break, about 12 minutes. We'll come back, have morning worship in Jesus' name.